ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Hello and welcome to our Student Support Podcast. Here we speak to tutors, experts and students from around the world. They'll be sharing their advice and experience to help you on your ACCA journey and achieve your exam goals.
Welcome to this ACCA podcast. I'm Paul Kirkwood, Head of Learner Experience at ACCA, and today we're meeting with Graham Hambly, editor of PQ Magazine. Our focus today is keeping on track for exam success. Hi, Graham.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm delighted to be here and I'm so looking forward to this session. To get started, can you tell me a little bit about your role as editor of PQ Magazine?
All right, that's a long, long story, unfortunately for you all. So I set up PQ Magazine in 2002. I've been writing about accountancy and accountancy students, though, since 1984. That's
wow.
A very long time. I know, it's a long time. I started off all those years and years ago in a small place called Dartford, just outside London, for Chapter 3 publications, where amongst the titles were accounting technicians and a magazine called Certified Accountant, which actually is the old title of Accounting and Business. Not as good as Accounting and Business then, but I worked on that, which was a fantastic journal, which got me all the way to Washington, D.C. and to Moscow. So I'm very pleased I worked on that magazine.
Superb. So what do you enjoy most about your role as editor?
So the big thing for me is, like accountancy, I think people think accountancy is about numbers, but it's not. So as an editor of a magazine, it's always about the people. You can read lots of great stuff. You can try and dig down into getting a news story. But sitting face to face with someone, you can chat to them and they'll have two or three really good stories. You have to talk to the right people, of course. They're really good stories that can help accountancy students and inform us better. So people is a key thing. So an understanding how to make relationships, create networks with people is a key skill for lots of ACCA students to develop and try and make it work for them for their future careers.
That's interesting. So is that the example you've just given there, is that why you said at the start that accountancy isn't just about numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. People. I mean, one of the great jobs was going to Washington and to the World Accounting Congress, and I met lots of people there. But I also, there were lots of times to engage with people. I was a lowly journalist in a room full of directors of education and CEOs and heads of accountancy, and you have to go and talk to them. And that can be quite onerous, and you might worry about it, but you have to make connections. I've made some fantastic connections at that conference.
Graham, I think we'll probably come back and maybe even do another podcast on these elements about being a professional, being an accountant, and connections. I think there's a really good thing we could focus on there. But I'm going to bring us back and going to think about the focus of the podcast, which is keeping on track for exam success. Yep. Now I know, and I know that you know, that the ACCA qualification is challenging, and I know that you like to interact with our students. Can you give us any insights to help our students achieve exam success?
I think one of the key things is about maintaining focus and enthusiasm. When you sign up, you'll get your lovely email back saying you've now started your journey. You have to pay a little bit of money, some subscriptions maybe, and then you start looking at exams, looking at what you need to do. And it can seem very, very ephemeral. It's sort of up in the air. And you need to start to look and focus and start really looking at end goals. When are you going to sit your first exam? And the wonderful thing about the ACCA, it's changed so much when I first started out. But when I first started looking at the ACCA, there were just two.
There were just two exams?
Just two exams, one in June and one in December.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
You have this opportunity to sit four. It's much more flexible. And I think you've got to be, but with those four comes a bit of commitment from you to think about and planning about your future. You've got to take control of your education. It's probably the first time you won't have anyone helping you or supporting you.
That's so interesting, Graham. And literally at about this time, you've mentioned that students have got the four exam sessions per year, thinking about their end goal. So maybe keeping their eyes on the big prize, but obviously being able to focus on what's in front of them now. So that there's, yes, you've got to have that enthusiasm. You know where you're going, but there's a need to focus on what's next for me. And literally, it's what one of the projects I'm working on at the moment is to try and develop a very simple planning tool so students can look ahead for the next 12 months. So is that something you think would be useful? Just something which allows the students to maybe focus on the next 12 months, not the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to have it's chipping away at the small goals. You know, in the old days, students used to take 3-4 papers at a sitting because there were only 2 sittings. And now, over the 4, you can manage it much better, one at a time. But you have to understand, although you only need 50% to pass, those exams are tough. And that means they're challenging, and that means you have to give them enough time. And my worry is, and it comes out in quite a lot of educational studies, that students often never feel ready to sit the exams. They always think, oh, I could always do a bit more. I could always know a bit more. But I think the key things for them is to take some practice tests, go on that wonderful platform that the ACCA has developed. I mean, that is fantastic. That's a fantastic tool for them. They're hugely lucky. I don't think many of the other accountancy bodies have anything as good. So that practice platform is something you should be on all the time and all over.
I completely agree, Graham. I couldn't agree more. We'll come back to that practice platform a little bit later in terms of just things, just maybe reiterated at the end in terms of getting ready for exam success. However, you mentioned the exams are challenging. Yes, we know that you need to get 50%. So we're not looking for perfection. And it's always good maybe to aim that bit higher. But, you know, you need to prove competence, not perfection. But even with that pass mark, I know it because I didn't pass my exams first time, that students will face setbacks. Can you give any advice to students who do suffer that exam setback, who fail one or more exams or struggle to pass an exam on several occasions?
It seems a strange thing to say, but I think you need to embrace failure. I'm really, really interesting for me is that when I started out on this journey working with accountancy and accountancy students, I was amazed. You'd have these really bright people who have sat all their school exams, sat university, and now finally sitting ACC exams. They're all grown up. They're left home. They're often starting a family. Life has changed dramatically since university school days, and they fail an exam for the first time. They have never failed anything before. They've passed their driving test first time. They actually don't know what failure is, and it can be a shock. And it's always how you deal with that shock, because you've been brilliant all the time. I'm really good at exams, aren't I? The methods I use have always worked for me. And it just means, just for once, they just have to stop and maybe look at best practice. There's tons of advice that's on the ACCA website from examiners, from what they're looking for in questions. You need to really do your homework on these exams. These are the reason why they're tough exams is because they're worth having. You know, they're going to open up a fantastic career for you. And you've got to plan it all properly and commit the time to it.
Yeah, we're aligned. You know, I know from that personal experience. Wasn't the first thing I failed, Graham. I must admit, I did fail an exam at university, so I prepared myself well. But it was still a shock, especially when, you know, I was working at the time and I was at risk of losing my job if I continued to fail. You know, there was so much riding on it. And I do believe that these exams for a lot of people are harder because we're that little bit older taking these exams. So we are, you mentioned it earlier, we're managing our own learning experiences. Even if we're studying with a college, we're still on our own quite a lot. We might have more work commitments and life commitments as well. And we really start to have to balance studying with everything else that life throws at us. So it's really challenging.
I'm not someone who excelled at exams either, particularly. I was really good at coursework, and if it was all about coursework, I would come first. But I often came last in exams. I mean, I recently listened to a radio program. I don't know. Do you know astronaut major Tim Peake? You know,
yes,
famous spaceman.
He's
explained he got a C, D, and E at his A levels.
Yep.
So he couldn't do what he wanted to do straight away, but he finally got to university. Finally got into space. There was also one of the leading scientists on the SAGE group, Sir Jeremy Farrow, I think his name was. He failed his A-levels first time round. Now he's heading up the SAGE group, not the SAGE, the accounting people, obviously, the SAGE group that looking after the pandemic. And he failed his exams first time, and look where he is now. I think it's how you deal with failure which will turn the whole thing into success.
Yes, and you know, there's so many anecdotes or studies that just try to put failure in perspective, and it's those failures that we need to learn from. And if we learn from, we make ourselves stronger. We can make ourselves more resilient. And I often talk about that need for self-reflection, and it's not difficult. Just thinking about what you've done, being honest with yourself, and okay, what can I do different this time? That's one of my big things when I speak to students myself. It's don't just do the same things you did last time. There's a big risk you'll get the same outcome. It's what can you change? What can you tweak? What can you do different? And that will set you up for success in the future.
I think whenever I talk to people who've been prize winners, that is that it's about practicing exams under exam conditions, and I'm trying to understand how you actually answer the questions. I think students cram all this knowledge, and it's a lot of knowledge. There was a great picture on Instagram recently of all the books you need to pass the ACC exam.
I saw it. Yeah,
It's taller than the average man.
Yes. Yeah.
So a lot taller than me. And it's amazing to see all that knowledge is actually good. You've got to cram all that into your brain and push everything else out. And having all that in doesn't necessarily mean once you've got the knowledge, you have to then apply it. And the application is so key. If the examiner, I think sometimes, and we all have this problem, we've got all this knowledge, we want to show it off. But if the examiner asks a specific question about a specific set of rules, that's what they want. And providing them that answer may seem to be a tiny bit of all your knowledge. But if you can succinctly write it, always amazes me when people look at, I've been to some exam, post-exam teaching classes where they show you what a typical exam paper should look like. And then they show this is the best one. This was not very good. And actually, you'll be surprised how little you need to write to, as long as you're providing the answer to the question. It's still quite a lot, but you just write specifically. If someone asks you a direct question, you know, just try and answer them.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to my teaching career for these exams, when I was in a classroom in the revision phases, I'd always get students to share their answers. And just to pass them around. It's awful. It's awful having to give your answer to someone else to read and critique. But the reality is your answer is going to be marked in the real exam, and it may well be the examiner themselves who looks at your script and marks your script. So you've got to be ready for that. But by doing that, you just get an insight. And even better, I would always try and encourage people to work out who you think scores well. You know, look at the mock exam results and try and look at their answers. And you're absolutely right. They may not be the shortest, but they certainly won't be the longest answers. And they'll certainly be achievable in the time allowed, because the people that score well, the people that pass really very comfortably, will have answered all the questions, might not have finished every part of every one, but they would have attempted every one, and they would have got a good score on each of the questions themselves.
That's super. That's always hard for me when I'm reading. We do a lot of feedback after the ACCA exams, and we try and look at how students are coping with things. And often they'll say that they've mismanaged their own time. And they'll say that I did so much on question one, I didn't have enough time for question three. And in fact, I didn't answer it at all. And you realise, oh my, so they've done really well in 2/3 of the paper, but they're giving themselves an almost impossible task to pass because they haven't managed their time better. And that's another key element of exam success.
Well, that's right. So if you walk out and you get 48% and it's, how didn't I get those extra 2 marks? Well, actually, if you only did 80% of the paper, you missed out a 20 mark question. You've got a 60% pass mark in what you've written, but you just haven't done enough. You're making the pass mark 60%. Why would you do that to yourself? You've got to try and attempt everything. And you mentioned earlier the importance of practicing in exam conditions, and that means the time. You don't have to do full exams all the time, but if you do a question and it's a 20 mark question and you've got 1.8 minutes per mark, do that question in 36 minutes, put your pen down. Set the alarm, walk away, make a cup of tea, then come back and look at what you've done. Yeah, add a bit more if you want. You think, oh, fuck, I could have just done that. But do the questions, especially in that final revision phase, in the time allowed. You almost train yourself to do it in that time, and you train yourself to put your pen down or stop typing. Let's get into the modern world, Graham. We should be typing, not writing. But stop typing, walk away, and you're training your brain to move on after the time allocated for a question.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how it works. That's why practicing exams is so important, and sitting them properly. If you don't do that, even if you just do one question, you don't have to do the whole exam. You don't have to give yourself too much of a task. But people seem to be almost, once they've acquired this knowledge, they always want to keep it until exam day. And in fact, no, you want to have practice it, almost used it all up, so you know exactly how you're going to structure questions, how long you need to provide in certain types of answers, how long you need to do your calculations. And also, one of the key things, of course, for a lot of students with the changes in exams from paper to CBEs is just spend some time looking at the papers and how you're going to use the exam papers. And I remember when the CBEs first came out for ACCA, there were some students who had actually admitted in the surveys that it was the first time they actually sat the paper was in the exam hall or in the exam, sphere that we're in. And I was so shocked with that. You've got to be really, really clear about how the system works so that that's not a barrier to you passing the exams. That should never be a barrier, and that's not ACCA's fault if it is. That's your own fault for not understanding how the system works.
Yeah, learn how the computer-based environment can help you, yeah.
And it really, you know, it'll do lots of the adding. Spreadsheets are great, you know, it'll do a lot of the adding up for you, and like in the real world, and that's what the ACCA are trying to achieve. So to use it, it's, you know, it will save you time.
Super. We've got to move on because we really could talk all day. But if you could speak to every one of our students who was just about to start on their ACCA journey, what advice would you give them?
First of all, I'll start by saying congratulations. You've made a fantastic choice, and that the ACCA qualifications will open lots and lots of doors for you. You've got to set yourself a goal, and the goal is to move from being a PQ. And you know, I do a fantastic magazine called PQ Magazine, and yeah, do everyone sign up to that. But I don't want you to be reading it forever. You know, 3 or 4 years down the line, I want to see you all newly qualified. And say in 2019, for example, the ACCA. Nearly 15,000 people moved from PQ to NQ. It's three times as many people are qualifying with the ACCA and going out into the world than the ICAW or CEMA. So it's they're really doing a fantastic job, and it's a global qualification as well. It will give you an opportunity to work anywhere in the world. So the benefits and the rewards are massive. So spend some time making sure you do it right. That's all I can say, really.
That's super, and it's great to hear it from yourself, Graham. So I can't call you independent, but you're not, you're obviously part of ACCA, and
no, we're independent.
Yeah, and it's what I believe. You know, the my accountancy qualification has just been the stepping stone, which I've used not just to get start off my career, but I've used it many times in my career. It's the skills and the professional skills, as well as being proven that you're technically competent. But it's those professional skills which I think add so much value to the professional accountants of the future. And it's not, in those respects, you're right, it's not about numbers. It's about us being able to turn our hands to any sphere of life.
There is one other thing, of course, I'd like to say, is that one thing that's really important on their journey is that the students need to look after themselves as well. And we're talking about their physical and mental well-being. It's something we at PQ have been really, really keen on stressing. In 2019, we did a massive survey where we looked at the health of student bodies. And one of the things we wanted to do is tell the professional bodies that they needed to do more. Now, some, not the ACCA, said it wasn't their job, which was quite shocking to us. And it appears that the ACCA were looking at this very issue as we were looking at it, because very shortly afterwards, they set up their wellbeing hub, which I would encourage all students to get on, have a look at. And it's a fantastic resource. And it's something, you know, we pushed and pushed for. In fact, it won. I don't know if people know this, but not only are the ACCA our accountancy body of the year, we do PQ awards every year, and they're very hotly contested, and you can go online and enter them now. But our current accountancy body of the year is the ACCA, and the Wellbeing Hub is actually won our Innovation of the Year award. And I know Ross Anderson is doing some webinars very soon, and I think he's got one coming up on the 19th of February, which would be something, seriously, spend some time, look after yourself, put yourself first sometimes. And I think go and listen to Ross. He's a great character and he can really help you.
I couldn't agree more. And yeah, it well-being is obviously top of the importance for our students, but it's so important to pass an exams as well, to be in good shape on that exam day. So I'm certainly not trying to downplay it there. Just it all works together. So it's a critical element. Thanks for flagging that, Graham. One final thing: did you ever consider becoming an accountant, Graham?
Oh, what a very good question. Now, there's a true story, and I think I best just say it, hadn't it? When I was at school and I just finished my A-levels, I went and worked for Guy's Hospital in the accounts department. And I had a great time there. We looked at paying the electricity bill, looked at private patients, how much they owed. I can tell you all the embassies who didn't pay their private patients' bills. It was chasing those up. I found it really interesting, but no one there. It was full of, at that time, there's lots of Australians there. So it was a real fun department, lots of accountants. But no one ever came up to me and said, "Well, Graham, do you fancy becoming an accountant?" And I think, and I just left and went and did American studies instead. So I lost my opportunity, but just for a glimpse, it could have been me. But I've never studied accountancy. I am a journalist and have been for, as you know, for 36 years. I'll be in my 37th year very soon. So a brief encounter, which I enjoyed, but a very long time ago.
Well, never say never. If you ever fancy dipping your toe in again, then our ACCX courses would be perfect for you. So, Graham, and finally, we always ask a final question just to get to know a little bit more about you. What's your favourite place?
My favourite place would be somewhere by the sea.
In this country or abroad, do you think?
Yes, no, it would be this country, closer to home. Knowing that I could get home quickly if there was an emergency, that says probably more about my life than it should do. the sea is much wilder here than it is maybe in the gentle, there's nothing like a tropical, beautiful turquoise. I've been on Mexican beaches, which have been, to die for. But give me the rough old North Sea bashing down on the rocks any day of the week.
I can visualize that. It's coming from someone who lives on the northeast coast or lived on the northeast coast. I can picture that Love scene.
Whitby Bay. Imagining the ship coming in, Dracula being finally getting to his destination.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, I think, Graham, we've got to end it there. Thanks so much for your time today and your insight and obviously your dedication to our ACCA students. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can listen to more ACCA podcasts covering exams, recruitment advice and becoming an ACCA professional and much, much more wherever you find this podcast.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.